really formal anyway, but I'm super informal today. If you have your Bibles, turn to the very first book, Genesis, in the very first chapter. Shouldn't take that long to get there. That's pretty sad. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Now, go down to, stay in the same chapter, but I'm going to go to verse 31, still chapter 1. And he says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." You know, I've been thinking, I'm always thinking, there are some things that have happened in my life that weren't very good. I would love to be able to say every day I've lived has been great, and I've felt great, and I've done good things, and good things have happened to me. But that's just not the case. Recently, you know, I have my times where I'm not feeling my best and I'm not doing my best. But one thing God showed me in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, he said, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth." And in verse 31, again, it says, "And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good." So when I look at that in contrast to some of the days that I've lived, I don't feel that they were very good. Some things have happened to me, whether it was things that God allowed to happen, but most of it was self-imposed, just to be honest with you. And I said, you know, something is wrong. If God is good and he created me, he created my mind, he created my spirit, and it says he created the heaven and the earth and sat back, looked at it, and everything was good. But that's not my life. That's not how my days are going. They're not all what I consider to be good. So in that, there must be a disconnect of some sort. Because if God is good, everything he made is good, why are bad things happening to not only me, but others around me? Why are some struggling? Why am I struggling with this? Why do I wrestle with that? It's the end of the day, you get home, you finally get settled for bed, and most of us keep our cell phones beside us, put them on a charger. You ever put your phone on the charger, but this time it doesn't charge? What's usually wrong when you plug the charger into your phone? What's usually wrong if it doesn't charge? What? Has a short. Have you ever plugged something in, like an appliance or a tablet or a laptop or whatever, and it didn't work? Did you say, you know what? I gotta rewire my house. I've got to call an electrician. I plugged my charger into my phone. My phone didn't, I need to buy a new phone. Either that or I'm gonna get this house rewired. No, it's the connection. When you go back to Genesis 1 and it said, he created the heaven and the earth. Then in 31, that verse, chapter 1, verse 31, it says, and he saw that it was very good. So you got a good God who created you and said that you were very good, but there are some days of your life that aren't very good. They're not going so well. The fault is not God. Why? Because God is good. But, you know, I want to also tell you that there's nothing wrong with you, because he created you and said, it is very good. The problem is the connection. We don't need to rewire the house. You don't throw away the cell phone. You buy a new charger. There's a short. Go to Colossians chapter 1. In verse 16. Okay, Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. God did a good job. He really did. In fact, he did a very good job, as verse 31 says. I also, here recently, have come to realize that what I considered to be problems, okay, you think about it, if God is good, the source is fine. There's nothing wrong with the source. I'm not an accident. I'm not a mistake. He created me on purpose. So there's nothing wrong with me. Nothing wrong with the creator. Nothing wrong with the creation. Bad connection. So I took that a step further and I thought, well, maybe all of these things that I deem to be problems and issues and struggles, what if they're not problems at all? What if it's my perception of what's happening? See, you have facts and you can't change the facts. I remember probably back in 2011, yeah, somewhere there, maybe 09, I don't know, somewhere there. My boss called us all in a room, and at this time, some of y'all may know this, but at this time I was working at an architecture firm downtown, and it was probably the third or fourth firm I had worked for. And I got out of school and I started getting into more and more complicated projects. I started learning more, started making more money. And I got this job offer. I was at Bible study one Thursday. And I came out and checked my messages, and there was a job offer. It was a guy saying, yeah, you know, I want to offer you the job. And it was more money than I had ever made in my life. So it was a no-brainer. I accepted. And worked there for a couple years. It was okay. I didn't really like it per se, but I had never made that much money in my life. So I'm staying. It's a no-brainer. He called maybe four or five of us into a meeting room. And I, you know, whatever, I didn't really know what was going on. And he's starting to talk, and he's like, as you guys know, due to the economy and, you know, the slowdown in the aviation industry and the hospital industry, all the medical industry slowing down, you know, as you guys know, things have really been rough for us as a company. And his eyes started to well up, and I was like, oh man, this dude's crying. Like, this is probably not good. You know, you don't never seen my boss cry before. And so he proceeds to tell us that he's gonna have to let us go. But what happened? See, the same thing happened to each and every one of us at that table. All four or five of us. We couldn't change the facts. The fact was, I was no longer going to be working here. And not only was it just me, but everyone around me at this table is not going to be working here any longer. So a couple of the ladies were crying. My boss was crying. And I was smiling. Because I guess maybe at that point, maybe I got it. But I told my boss, I said, hey, man, it's okay. I said, this place isn't the hand that feeds me. Nothing, as long as you don't cut my source off, I'm fine. This job isn't my necessarily bread and butter. This isn't my all-sufficient. This is not where my sufficiency comes from. This is not even really where my help comes from. This isn't guaranteed. As long as my source is fine, and I know ain't nothing wrong with me, and ain't nothing wrong with him, so I'm okay. Amen. So then I started thinking about that and other problems that I'm having. There's a, and I don't know who said it. Does she remember it or write it down? It says, when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. So I had an option. Either I can see this as me being fired, not working, and then I can think about the fact that the bill collectors could care less whether I got fired or not. Or I can say, wow, I got promoted. I guess it was time to move on. When you look at, I don't know, you know, I'm sure everybody's going through something. But when you look at it, first you gotta, it's a very reasonable way to understand your problems. First of all, I challenge you because it may not be a problem at all. It might just be an illusion. It may just be you're looking at it wrong. Think about the source. He is good. Amen. Think about you, the creation. You're very good. It has to be something wrong with the connection. Go to the book of John, chapter 15. And I know I should do it all the time, but when, and I'm trying to get better at it, but when things come up, sometimes we start thinking about it and we start trying to handle it. But we never once say, you know what? I see this as a problem, but what does God see it as? Is it a problem to God? Does he think that this is a struggle? Does he think that this is a setback? Is this bad to God? No, it's not. It's not a problem. It's only a problem to you. All right, y'all ready? John, I didn't go there myself. John chapter 15, verse 1. And look at this. It says, as soon as I get there, I know what it says, but I want to read it. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Do you know, with him saying that he is the true vine, I think about this. If there is an issue with me, there's nothing wrong with God, nothing wrong with me, and I've established the fact that something is wrong. It's the connection. But it could be even deeper than that. It says he's the true vine, meaning that there are plenty of places you can plug yourself into. If you have an issue, all you have to do is turn on a TV and they will tell you how to solve it. If you're hurt, we'll come to you. You call Joel Bieber. You know, I'm looking for a car. Mercedes says the best or nothing. Acura is truth in engineering. Well, that's Audi. If you're hungry, there's plenty of advertisements about food, but I don't feel like going to get anything. Amazon now will deliver food to me right now, and it'll be hot. There is only one true vine, meaning that there are many vines out there, but there is Jesus said, I am the true vine. So when I shut off all the noise and I get on my knees, that's the only way I can figure out what's going on. Then all of a sudden, you ever get down on your knees and pray about something? And all of a sudden, like, God just opens your head up. Like, oh man, I never looked at it like that before. That's because there's nothing wrong with the source. And it was never a problem with you. You were just plugged into the wrong. So you plugged into your auntie. And auntie said, oh no, you can't be doing that and this and that. And then you plugged into mama. Mama said, nah, you need to solve that problem. Then you plugged into your friend and you plugged into the TV. And then everybody is telling you about your problem, which really isn't even a problem. You get a sniffle on Monday and you say, man, you know, I know what this is. This is last time I got a sniffle, it was a respiratory infection. And it usually comes on after a day. That's when all of it breaks loose. That's when it magnifies. And by Wednesday, then that fever comes. That third day, I get that fever. It never fails. And that headache, you know what? Sir, I don't think I'm going to be in Friday. And see, on Monday, you've already called out for Friday. And nothing has happened to you yet. I had this written down. I want to go to another. Okay, yeah, here we go. Go to Luke. Yeah, but and gosh, it's so simple. Like, I'm training myself to add, before it even goes there, God, what is this? I know it's not a problem. What is this? It's, you know, you can be stuck somewhere. I swear, if you don't plug in, if you're disconnected, you could take something simple like the cable going out or the internet going out and be like, you know what? This is a problem. I don't know what's going on. And then next thing you know, you're upset. Man, the Olympics was on or whatever was on. I'm mad. I can't watch TV. And then it's like you ever quiet yourself down and be like, you know what? I have an option. I could spend time with my family. That's a no-brainer. But that kind of stuff, see, that kind of revelation you don't get if you plugged into the wrong source or if there's a disconnection. I think most of the time it's not us not recognizing where the source is or who the source is, because I don't think we'd be here if we didn't recognize that God was our source. So I'm going to venture out to say with many of us, it's just a matter of a loose connection. Go to the book of Luke, chapter 9, verse 55. And I'm going to actually, maybe I'm going to start at 52 or 53, maybe 52. Either way, I'm going to start reading something. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. 54, and when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? And in 55, Jesus said something that was so important and so very simple. This whole, I swear, like the stuff that God is showing me, it's like all earth-shattering stuff, but it's so simple. Look at what he said in 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. What does that mean? They got angry. See, here's the thing. Like I was saying earlier, it's not with us in here, it's not a problem with not knowing who our source is. We all know God is our source. The disciples knew that God was their source. They were actually walking with God. But look how easy you can become disconnected. Look at, he said, they said, should we call down fire and consume them? And Jesus said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Basically, Jesus said, hold on. That's a disconnection there. Is with the source? Would God want to destroy them? Like, what would the source do? What is God thinking? And that's why it's so important. The scripture talks several times about having the mind of Christ. What does that mean? What does it mean? That means align your thinking with the thinking of your source. When you do that, the things that you thought were problems aren't problems. They're opportunities. They're doorways, actually. Many times, God opens up a door for us, and if you're not aligned with the way God is thinking, you're standing in front of the door. You're begging God to open a door for you, and you're standing in front of it like this because you aren't looking at it the right way. The source is saying, here's the door, and you're looking for a door. The source is saying, here it is, but God, I got fired. The source is saying, here the door is. But God, they lied on me. They teased me. I shouldn't have gotten fired. They fired me behind something that wasn't even true. The source is saying, here the door is. God, you know, I lost my house. What am I going to do? I got a family. Now, if anybody knows you have a family, it would be God, your father. What am I going to do now? I love that house. And the source is saying, here is the door you prayed for. When you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. Then you didn't get fired. You didn't lose a house. You didn't lose a spouse. You didn't lose a relationship. The source is always saying, come higher, come further. This is what you get on your knees for. This is what you fast for. This is why you show up every Saturday for prayer. This is what you've been seeking God for from Bible study. This is what you got in a prayer line for on Sunday. The source is saying, here is the door. Sometimes being disconnected, and I don't want to say it's trivial, but the consequences are not as great. All right, you know, my internet went out. I lost my head for a second. All right, I'm back. We cool. Oh, man, the power went out. Lost it for a second. All right, spend some time with the family. We gonna chill. We gonna play cards. Still got a little daylight. Oh, it's dark. We got flashlights, candles. Let's tell some stories. Let's use this as talk time. I'm back. Sometimes the cost can be great. There are so many people that have lost connection for a second, and their lives will never be the same again. I've seen so many people on the news say, you know, I don't know, they done killed somebody that they love, and they say, I don't know what came over me. I don't know what happened. It's like I just blacked out. And I've done that before. I've gotten into a fight, and my friends told me what happened. I didn't know what happened. I was just fighting. I didn't see anything. And they said, yeah, Eric, you did thus, thus, and thus. I was like, I don't remember that. I don't recall seeing that. Next thing I know, I got angry. And then after that, I was sitting at my desk. I don't know what happened between that. Disconnection. I don't want to do that again. I don't want to be in that place again. The danger, see, the scriptures also say it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes, okay? And Jesus said, I'm the true vine, right? He also talks about the branches that remain connected to the source will bring forth much fruit, right? Then he says it's the little foxes that spoil the grapes. So you mean to tell me I can be connected to the vine and bring forth much fruit, and there are things that can steal my fruit? Yeah. Disconnection. The issue was never us. It was Jesus had to come because there was a separation between us and God that had never happened before. He died because of the disconnection. This world will lull you to sleep. And the next thing you know, you won't know what happened. You'll wake up one day and say, how did I get here? Why am I thinking like this? And I know you said this before. How did I end up with that person? Maybe you've never said that before. I don't want to talk about it. But before you know it, see, that's why they feed you. See, I'm going to tell you the good thing about the mind is that it's programmable. The bad thing about the mind is it's programmable. If it wasn't, companies wouldn't spend billions and billions of dollars on advertising to you, because science proves that if I keep telling you the same thing over and over again, you will eventually buy it. You will eventually think that you need things that you really don't. You will eventually think that, oh man, I'm left out. I can't be left out. I need to go to the Apple store. I need an iPhone. I don't want to be left out. Everybody's doing it. And they've convinced me that this is the way to go. But he says, I am the true vine. Disconnection is dangerous. Remember, 3 weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, I put the challenge out there and I said, I'm doing it myself. And it was one thing that you have to work on that you know you need to get better in, and just taking baby steps. Well, mine, and I didn't share it then, but mine was staying connected and constantly figuring out what the source is thinking. Like, all right, the fact is this happened, okay? But the challenge is, how are you gonna, are you gonna look at the object from this way? If you look at it from this way, it's a Bible stand, it's a podium. If you look at it from this way, it's a chair. How are you gonna look at it? How is God looking at it? How can I constantly make sure that my mind is aligned with the mind of Christ? It said, let that mind be in you. So I challenged myself. I said, you know what? I'm going to stop being so inconsistent with my morning routine. There are certain things that I'm religious about. You know, drink water first thing in the morning. Pray. Go to the gym. Eat some egg whites. You know, just dumb stuff like that. But I realized that I was more consistent with the gym and the egg whites than my morning prayer time. And see how that disc, I'm doing a good thing. I'm getting up before I go to work. You know, I'm eating right. I'm drinking plenty of water, blah, 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 blah. And slowly the disconnection comes. So I realized that my morning routine was different now, and it didn't include prayer time at all. Somehow these things squeeze out my meditation time, and that was the most important thing. As the disconnection happens, then you start to see a pattern. If you you ever be driving to work and you like, man, and you're just having a rough day, and you're like, man, I know I ain't gonna miss church Sunday. I need it. You know what? You're right. Because your spirit is wired to know when something ain't right. Your spirit is wired to know when there's a disconnection. Because who made us? Oh, go figure. How? What a coincidence. The one who made us made it so that we know when something is missing. People call it a God-shaped void. In closing, if there's anything you get from this, I want you to understand that it's not God, right? He's not the problem. But what's more important for you to take away from this is that it ain't nothing wrong with you. No. See, there's something in my spirit that tells me that some of y'all are really being hard on yourselves. You think that you won't go as far as to say you were an accident, but you're a little confused about why you're here, what you're supposed to be doing, what's your purpose. Can God really use me? You know, I'm the only one in my family that didn't go to college. I'm the only one. My sister's educated. My brother's educated. My sister has a big house. She's got the good job. Mom always favored her. My dad always favored my brother. And you've allowed that to seep into the way you think. So listen to this. If the source gets polluted, then the fruit is polluted. The word says bitter and sweet water can't come out of the same fountain. If you have a water hose and you connect it to the spigot, right, and turn it on, clear water flows out, right? But disconnect it for a week and then plug it back up, and I dare you to drink the first water that comes out of the hose. Go into your house and fix the plumbing and then turn the water back on after the pipes have been disconnected and placed in the dirt and the grass got in it and the grease from your hand, you know, got all inside the pipe. And that's how we begin to think. Our thinking is polluted because of the disconnection. So we are a lot harder on ourselves. See, we don't really understand what God did when he made us. We don't really value what he did. We don't really value the mind that he gave us and the body that he gave us and the way that we're wired to think. And how he looked at us. See, you forgot when he made you, he said, this is very good. It says he beheld, like he made you, and then he took a step back and was like, oh yeah, that's very good. You're not an accident. God didn't put you together in a haphazard way. I need you to understand that not only is it not God's problem or not God's fault, it's not yours either. There's nothing wrong with you. You're not an accident. He made you on purpose. Even if your parents didn't make you on purpose, God made you on purpose. He knew you before you were born. He knew you. He knew you. It ain't you. If there's anything going on with you right now that you know something ain't right, it doesn't have to be, why am I going through this? I don't gotta live like this. Examine your connection. I believe you're just looking at it from the wrong angle.